Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, we're back again for another season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Cannot be more excited to be here today. We got a season premiere. It's very exciting.
What is this accent that's happening right now?
The accents that we will be performing today, the limit is limitless.
Oh, there is
it
no limit.
Meets,
limit
doesn't exist. It meets no bounds.
Oh, okay. So we're going to do like, we got Dracula. We got Dracula here.
Yeah, I'm so bad at accents. You don't want me to do it, but I could.
I think that means I want you to do it.
No, I'm so bad. I really can't. It's so bad, but we're gonna rage out today. Jessica, are you excited? You love a premiere. That is one of your passions in life.
Do you love a premiere? I love getting to see if people like looks have changed from season to season. The hair especially is a big one for me. And yeah, I'm really excited. This episode was interesting. I'm excited to talk about it. And I think we got some clarification on like, is Riley hanging around? What's the deal with him? He was in the opening credits. So presumably he's going to be here all season. The good news is I'm pretty sure our girl Anya was also in the opening credits.
She was. I mean, I disagree. I don't think that means that he'll be here all season, because example A is Oz from last season. We started off
with
Oz being in the credits, but then as he departed the show, he also left the credits. Then we got both Riley and Spike into it. So right. I don't think that means that he's here for the entire season, but he's here for the right now. Seeing Anya in the credits was really great.
I was very excited
about that, because I think it's about time. None for Tara. Tara, they said, we don't have time for you.
No.
We don't have time.
Yeah. But Tara, they were just like, you know what? She's here, but she's here. She's queer, but she's not necessarily someone we're that concerned with. We'll let her get her little smirkies in. Uh-huh. She'll have a couple scenes, she'll have a couple lines, but we're not committed to her yet, unlike Willow. It's very
committed. Well, okay, but like honestly, what is the most that we have seen a person, like people in an opening credits? Like, we don't have time to list 20 people in an opening credits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We have to do it in time of the song, right? Exactly. We can't extend the song. So we don't have time, and we can't like credit 1,001 people. So
they're like, okay, listen, Terry, you're back burnered for now.
You're back
burnered. Really? Yeah. Maybe next season we'll revisit.
Maybe. Or maybe the back half of the season could happen. Could be. I don't know. Only time will tell.
Yeah. So, Sarah, what did you think of the premiere? Buffy versus Dracula.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that it was tonally feeling different than season 4 already. I feel as though our focus this season, at least for Buffy, is going to be her discovering like who she is. You know, she's a killer, right? She's a killer in a way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it ever, I think it was almost like video game mentality, right? Like I don't think like she really connected the dots that there is like, I am taking lives in a way because they're bad. Vampires are bad. Demons are bad. So I kill them and then I save the world. But I think that both from the last episode of the season with the, or the second to last, the first Slayer, and also and Dracula, they both brought up like there is a darkness. So it's Buffy is very much like, who am I? Where do I come from? Who are the people that have stepped in my footsteps before me? And am I actually a good guy or am I a cold-blooded killer? And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to discover or play with this season, because we've been wanting more backstory about Slayers in general since literally day one of the show and what it means to be a Slayer and how you choose. Like, so if that's going to be a focus of this season, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because we talked a lot about the themes of season four being identity and like figuring out who you are, you know, first year of college, kind of like rediscovering or cementing maybe who you think you are versus who you were before. And we're playing with that again in the premiere, but now it is more specific to Buffy as a Slayer and what that means and whether what control she has over that as well, because there's a lot of chatter about hunting versus slaying, like and kind of using different words to define what Buffy is doing, whereas previously I think we all would have agreed she's slaying, like that's what she's doing, that's her prerogative as the Slayer. But a lot of it feels much more like she's doing this not out of necessarily obligation or responsibility to keep Sunnydale safe from demons, vampires, what have you, but because she's enjoying it, right? Like she almost has this restlessness, which is kind of funny considering that was the finale last season, where she can't sleep. She has to go hunting for baddies, and she seems to be getting a bit of a thrill out of it, which is something that Dracula is recognizing within her, right? Like your power is rooted in darkness. Like he feels like they're kindred spirits. And now Buffy is kind of wondering, okay, ever since we tapped into the first Slayer, I've been feeling this way. Now I need help from Giles and the Scoobies to figure out why that is, figure out where my powers come from, what else I can expect from this, right? Like, I really enjoy that was like the hook that got Giles to feel more useful again. Already I'm feeling a little bit more comforted by the fact that like, okay, Giles is going to have something to do this season, and it is going to be helping Buffy figure out her heritage, her ancestors, whatever, right? Like the Slayers of days past.
Yeah.
And that is a way to keep him around. Because, I mean, we all knew he wasn't going back to the UK. No, you know?
That was a waste of my breath, honestly. I was not concerned at all about that. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting because, like, I kind of, like, think a little bit about, you know, like, hunting in general. Like, the cavemen did it, like, for food, for necessity. But then, like, when did it become a sport? And, like, this is where, like, a lot of, like, the morality stuff comes in. Like, there's a difference between, like, hunting for food to survive and then hunting like rhinos in Africa or elephants.
Poaching.
In Africa. Yeah, poaching. Like, so like, and I feel like maybe that's kind of like a little bit of like what Buffy was up to as well, was like, oh, like this is no longer like me saving the world. This is me. Well, I mean, maybe it's the same thing. I don't know.
I think it's both. It's kind of working in both ways, right? Where she's like, well, I am helping out Sunnydale in the world by like ridding them of these demons, but also I'm enjoying it more than I used to. And like, what is that about? And so I'm really excited that hopefully we'll get some more Slayer lore this season. And also it will then by extension, give Giles something to do. Yeah.
I feel like all Giles wanted was like a little
like they're there. You know what I mean? Like, he just did not feel like he was wanted or needed. And all he needed was like a little like pat on the back, like, I still need you, Giles. And once Buffy said that, I feel as though he instantly caved. Like,
well, because he can't just leave when she needs him. Like, again, it's his surrogate daughter. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, Dad, I need you. He's not going to be like, sorry, off to England. Pip, pip, cheerio. See you later.
We don't think that he was ever really like, I think that he just was feeling not paid attention to, had no purpose. He needed Buffy to be like, I still need you. And I think like that is, I don't know, I guess like that's something that parents really experience eventually when their children become like independent and
like an empty nest sort of thing.
Yeah, don't go to them anymore for help or support. I'm sure
that's bad. I do think he was seriously considering it though, because it seems like him and Willow spent like all summer archiving a ton of like sources, books, tomes, whatever, that they would then be able to access. Like, I feel like he was kind of setting the wheels in motion and doing all of this without telling anyone. And like, he's three quarters of the way there by the time he even tells Willow this information.
Not one bag was packed. Let's be clear. Not one bag was packed yet.
He still had
one book box. He didn't even take down. The first thing that you do when you're about to move is put away your decorative objects. All the relics were still out and about. This motherfucker mm-hmm. was not moving. He was like, you know what? We really just have to digitize everything because mm-hmm. we're in the year 2002 or whatever year this was. And nothing. And we need to have everything on computers because the computers are the future.
Yeah, he had a scanner. He was going. They were going to town with that scanner.
That was a big scanner. I think like he was considering it. But I honestly, I mean, like, I don't know how close he actually was to moving. But like, I also think that I think that he just needed to feel still needed. And when Buffy doesn't come to him for like 8 months because she's like uber independent and they don't really have a mission, especially after Adam, they're in like a lull season. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't really need you. I'm going to just do my patrolling like I normally do. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think now he has purpose and now he has a reason to stay in town, which is really nice to see. And I'm hoping that means we're going to get a lot more agency from Giles this season, a lot more like involvement from him. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about one of the first scenes that we get where the Scoobies are hanging out on the beach, because I want to know, Sarah, which of these activities, mm-hmm. which person are you on the beach? We have Buffy and Riley tossing a football around by the water. Tara is hanging out with some tarot cards. Willow is reading. Xander looks like he's trying to start like a barbecue or a fire or something. And Anya looks like she's playing some sort of a handheld game, like maybe like those like old school like solitaire, those like individual games. Mm-hmm. And that's the best I could tell of what Anya was doing. It's what it looked like, at least to me. So which person are you? What activity are you doing?
I am a beach person through and through. I am from New Jersey, of course. Mm-hmm. So the Jersey Shore is basically the best thing in the world. I love the beach. I love laying out. I thought that Anya was just kind of laying out. So I was going to say like a mix between a Willow and a Anya, where I'm like, I always have a book and I'm always like in the beach chair and typically getting some sun, but then like under the umbrella. So mm-hmm. That's where I stand. I hate people that need to do activities on the beach. It's like, this is my relaxation time. Like, please, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to play volleyball with you. I'm not going to play football. I'll like dip into the water. That's not a problem at all. But if you are my beach buddy and you like sit there for like 40 minutes and is like, I need to go do something, we are not beach buddies.
You're not beach compatible.
We're not beach compatible.
Got it.
I need somebody that can hunker down for 6 hours and not make a fucking peep. Actually, that's not true. Love to gossip on the beach. That's one of my favorite things to do on the beach. But if you're like, let's go do activities, then I say, goodbye, ma'am. Goodbye. I don't need mm-hmm. this right now. This is not beach compatible to me. You probably fucking hate the beach. You're like, sun, sand, I hate it.
Okay, great impression of me, by the way. I can tell you've been working on it.
Yeah.
I am not a big beach person, unsurprisingly. I think part of it is I did not grow up going to the beach. I was very much we went camping a lot for vacation when I was a kid. And if we weren't doing that, we were always doing an activity. We were going to a place, we were seeing a thing. I did not grow up in a lounge family. Now, I'm not to say I can't lounge. I definitely can lounge. My problem is if we're going for let's say we're taking a week long vacation together. Okay. If you want to do a single beach day where you're like, I'm going to spend all day at the beach for one day, I could probably make that work. I would get bored. Certainly. I would get bored. I would bring a book. Definitely need an umbrella. I am not laying out in the hot sun. Absolutely not. I will roast like a lobster, routinely putting on sunscreen. But most likely I will get bored. I think my thing is I probably would take a dip, get a little bit cooled off. You know, I'm not a big saltwater fan. I'd rather swim. This is probably a hot take. I'd rather swim in a lake than an ocean, like literally any day of the week. But I'm more of a boardwalk person than I am a beach person because there's like fun things to do. There's like an arcade. There's, you could get some food, get some drinks, like walk, you know, go into all the little souvenir shops. Even if you don't buy anything, get yourself a magnet.
I literally rather hang myself than do any of that.
Well, then we're obviously not beach compatible because I couldn't do, if you're like, I'm going on vacation for a week and I'm going to lay out at the beach all day, every day. Good on you. But I can't do that because I would be bored out of my skull. I'm cool with lounging. Don't get me wrong. I can relax with the best of them, but not laying on the sand doing nothing. I would lose my mind. That does not sound like a vacation to me. That sounds like mental illness hell. It's jail. That is jail for my brain.
Yeah. You could do the boardwalk, but that's like the boardwalk's really good at night when the sun's down.
I want to be inside at night. I want to be relaxing inside. I don't want to be, by the time the sun's down, I'm tired. Okay. I guess you're not tired if you're just laying at the beach all day though. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not for me. I probably am maybe a willow. I think I'm a smattering of like a couple of them. Like I'd be a willow for a little bit. I'm not going to do football, but like I would go dunk my toes in the water a little bit. So Buffy, I guess maybe is counted for there. I'm probably not the one starting the fire unless I need to be, you know, I can fill that role if I need to.
Yeah. You don't want to cook the burgers.
I would cook burgers if usually someone else is always like volunteering though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I would if it was like, if I was needed, because I can cook a burger. I'm good at cooking burgers.
Oh,
yeah. So they all end up having to leave the beach. And this is when Buffy,
Willow's a shitty witch.
She starts the fire Xander's having some troubles.
Which I do enjoy. I like how she's like, you know, like every thing has a consequence. And
yeah, like, it needs to balance out in the end.
I do like the balancing of the elements. It very much reminds me of like Pushing Daisies, where it's just like, well, if you save life or bring a life back, then like, in the universe, another life has to be taken. It's like everything has to be balanced. And like, I like that, but I don't know. I feel like the amount of rain that they got really was not equal to that fire, but whatever. She did say it wasn't her. So maybe there's a possibility it really wasn't her.
She claimed it wasn't her, but let me tell you, that storm rolled in real quickly. Yeah. Like truly,
yeah, the timing.
Usually you can tell when a storm is coming.
The timing was damning.
Yeah, it was really bad. But Buffy ends up, she's in the middle of slaying. She ends up meeting Dracula. And this was so interesting because he's very much like a tropey vampire, right? Like he can turn into a bat. He can like disappear and reappear. He's very full of himself. And Buffy is, I did love Buffy being like, okay, I'm bored. Like, I'm going to kill you now. And Xander and Willow coming up on them was very funny as well. Xander doing the like Count Chocula accent in front of Dracula was really fun. I enjoyed the campiness of this, Sarah. It felt to me like we were kind of mixing and matching the campiness of the early seasons with the like more philosophical who am I stuff, mm-hmm, and the colleginess of like season four, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool because Number one, like everybody knows the name Dracula. I think like that's the first vampire that literally everybody knows of, really.
Yeah, even Spike says it.
Yeah, and I think like it's funny that Dracula is actually real in this universe, a real vampire that exists, and because of his ego and because of his visibility, not a mirror, but because of his visibility, people know him and know how to defeat vampires. I think like that lore is really funny and interesting. And I think it's like really funny how everybody kind of treated him as like a celebrity. Like this is it's kind of like if like Brad Pitt like rolled out in front of us and we're like, oh, that's like Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? Brad Pitt's kind of like a douchebag, but so is Dracula. So it's just like, oh, Dracula, like you're real, like you're a real thing. You're right in front of us. And like everybody knows him. Everybody's like kind of met him that's been around the block for a while. So I thought that that was really funny. And I thought it was really interesting. A lot of the, as you said, like tropey vampire stuff that we have not seen, like turning into a bat, doing a lot of poofing,
living in a castle.
He loves his mansion. What else was he into? He probably doesn't like garlic. He doesn't like fire. Like a lot of the things that are tropey that you and I and like basically everyone knows, like Vampire 101 doesn't really come into play that much in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The bat thing I think is like the most exciting thing for me to see because nobody turns into a bat. Like Angel doesn't turn into a bat. Spike doesn't turn into a bat. Like I thought that was like pretty interesting and unique to see. Like we didn't even see Daddy Vamps turn into a bat.
Yeah, exactly. Like I really enjoyed that he fell into some of those tropes in a way that the show is calling out, where when after they all meet him and everyone is treating him like some big celebrity, which can be excused or explained by like he's able to kind of mystify people with his mind. They're like, oh my God, it's like he looks right through you, right? Like you can explain it away by saying he's using some sort of magic to coerce people or manipulate people. But he even also has
really natural charisma, which is like a big vampire trope as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so Riley is like very much bothered by this because he thinks everyone is like enamored with this guy. They're, oh my God, are you under his like spell? And so he goes to Spike to try to get some information. And I love that Spike and Dracula are like old foes. Spike is like so irritated by Dracula. He's like, basically he got all famous and then all our vampire secrets were spilled. Like people knew we had to be invited inside. You know, we couldn't just come on, you know, we couldn't trick people anymore. And Spike tells Riley, well, he wouldn't sleep in a crypt. Like he's fancy. He has to have his fancy mansion and his special dirt and all this other stuff. What did you make of Riley being, it seemed like he was obviously a little bothered by like the potential for Buffy to be enamored with Dracula, but also he's now like, he doesn't have the initiative anymore. Like he is fully a civilian person helping out the Slayer.
Yeah, I think like a little bothered is exactly what was up with Riley this episode. He just seemed a little bothered about a lot of things. And I think that it just like directly derives from not having a purpose, not having a role or commands or, you know, even decision making. I think that he has like a little bit of like control issues in this episode because like he was the leader for a lot of time. And I think that, yeah, like I definitely think that he seemed a little irritated this episode, a little bothered. I think that he's still so rigid and everything really in his mind needs to go in a specific order. So when we have Buffy, who is like a lot more spontaneous, a lot more like loose than her, I think he has a real problem with that. And like, personally, I can relate to that because like, I have a very hard time. Like if a plan or like is supposed to be a certain way and somebody comes at me and wants to switch it up, like, it's not like I want to be right and you're wrong. It's that, like, I feel like a tenseness of like, oh, but we should really be doing it like this way, or I had my head wrapped around something, and for us to switch it up, it like kind of bothers me. I get bothered, honestly. So like, I can relate to that. Like, I feel like things, I have a lot easier time of like protocol and like following like a certain guide than just being like, and we're going to go off and we're going to fuck some shit up. Like, I like,
yeah,
I don't know. I have a harder time with that, but yeah. I mean, how did you read Riley this episode? I know me being like the biggest Riley stan, whatever, there's probably shit that, you know,
there really wasn't much that I like. He really didn't bother me all that much. It was more so I noticed that he was struggling without having the structure of the initiative because, right, he says, if it were me, I would just assemble all the initiative and we would go hunt down Dracula right now. But Buffy's like, that's not how we do it. Like, we're going to research him. We're going to get all our information, get all our ducks in a row. He's really powerful. We don't want to go in half cocked. Like, we want to know all the information we can. And Riley is just not used to that. And I think this is kind of just like a continuation of the, like, he's now taking orders from Buffy, right? Like, he's no longer in the initiative, at the head of the initiative, the one making the shots, the one calling the shots. He's now taking Buffy's lead, which I'm not reading it as like a emasculating thing. I don't think that's the situation. I do think he's concerned about Buffy, and I do think he's like, are you under his spell? I didn't really appreciate the like reference to Angel of like, oh, I know you've already been with like one vampire, so like, you know, maybe you could get pulled back in, like maybe you're transferring your feelings. That felt a little bit unfair in my opinion, knowing what we've seen of Dracula, that he's able to kind of pull people in and lure them in with his
Riley
mind.
The only one that hadn't had direct, besides Tara and maybe Giles, direct contact with.
Yeah, Giles and Tara definitely didn't. Yeah. And it's like he didn't understand. And I just was like, if I'm Buffy and he's bringing up Angel as like proof that, you know what I mean? I was just like, I didn't like that. But beyond that, it really felt to me like this is an adjustment period for him to like be a civilian, but be and be like not in command. Like, he is no longer in charge. He has to take, you know, the lead from Buffy. So yeah, it was really interesting. I think this is definitely going to be an interesting test of their relationship, is just how he fits into the Scooby Squad rather than Buffy fitting into the initiative. Like, it's a very big difference, I think.
Yeah. And are you assuming that he's going to have a hard time adjusting?
I think so. I think a military background is like a very specific, you know, you're following procedure, you're following rules, you're following order. And that's not always how things go with the Scoobies. So I think, and also sometimes finding your place within that, right? Within that structure can be a little difficult. So I'm really intrigued to see kind of where things fall. I also found it was interesting that he, when he does come back to the Scoobies and he says, oh, well, this is what I found out about Dracula, he doesn't mention Spike. Like, he doesn't mention that that's where he got that information. He threatens Spike multiple times, right? Because he knows Spike can't hurt him because of the chip. And he threatens Spike a lot this episode and never mentioned to the Scoobies that's where he got his info.
Yeah, that's just going to antagonize Spike. And I cannot imagine that Spike is going to be full of chip for the rest of his existence. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think eventually, and probably this season, we're going to see Spike kind of somehow break out of this. And if Riley continues to treat Spike as like a lesser being and also as his little bitch boy, I can see Spike eventually wanting to fight back.
Well, especially because I think it's worth noting, yes, Spike can't directly hurt Riley, but Spike could pay someone to do it to hurt Riley, like another demon, right? He could make a deal with, please, he is not above making deals with like other, you know, nasty beings to take out Riley or to hurt Riley.
Well, so, everyone's mad at Spike, by the way. Like, Spike has nobody right now.
Well, because he was killing demons, and that's, like, a betrayal.
He just, like, sits in his little crypt all by himself and just waits for people to come visit him. It's very sad.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. He needs to shack up with Giles again, because I think he was having a great time with Giles.
He's a sad boy.
Yeah. What did you make of Anya and Xander's little tiff afterwards, where she like dated Dracula back in her demon days?
Anya obviously got around. I think
she's like hundreds of years old. Like, yeah. Of course.
I think it's a very Anya Xander little tiff. I'm glad that it doesn't really last long, but I think that they're in like this step of like, she is very experienced and in a lot of different things, both in like killing, but also in the ways of whatever, hookups, whatever. And I think that he is like, gets a little self-conscious about it, that he's like 19 and a dweeb. And I think it was like kind of teasy funny. I thought Xander was really funny this episode, just like
all the after masturbator and then he goes unholy prince bater,
like king spookiness or whatever he said. Like, I thought that he was really funny, his mannerisms when he was like sneaking his little bug snacks.
That was so gross.
It was gross, like, oh. But also like the faces that he made was like really funny. And then like at the end when he's no longer in this trance, he like comes out and he's just like, I've had it. Like, I am so sick of like getting like my manipulated and like forced to hook up with bugs or eat bugs or whatever. I thought he was really funny in this episode.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good episode. I'm like, again, yeah, being jealous of Anya is whatever, but like, you know, she is fawning over Dracula a bit. Yeah. And
yeah,
I don't know.
See, it's kind of funny because like my relationship, Adam and I love to talk about how hot other people are, but typically it's like a Dracula, meaning like it's like a celebrity or somebody that we see on like Love Island or whatever. But if he like actually was like, oh, that girl that's playing pickleball I find really attractive, then like I would blow up the entire pickleball court in a second.
Okay.
But yes. You know what I mean? So
I do. It's different when it is, when there is that distance of like, this is not a real person. They're a real person, but they're like, this is a celebrity. Yeah. This is a person on television. This is not a person literally in front of us right now, or like a normie. If it's a normie, like that's weird. You can't be like, normies are attractive.
Yeah. Because like Dracula is a celebrity and like everybody's like fawning over him.
And he's not attractive, I have to say. And I'm putting this down to the like, his magicness, whatever it is about him that is able to like, you know, basically dickmatize people. I think it's like in his magic, because the middle part is not doing anything for him. He got nasty ass long nails, like truly horrific. I saw those
claws,
those nasty talons. Yeah. Like, he's not. And I mean, obviously, I want to talk about like that. That's attractive. Like, I don't think so.
I do think that I like that accent a lot. Actually. Listen,
are you turned on by the count when he goes 1, 2, 3?
I'm so confused because like, is the count Sesame Street or is it Rice Krispies? I don't even know.
Sesame Street. There was a vampire. I don't know if it was Rice. Wasn't there like Count Chocula?
Count Chocula.
That's a cereal.
Yeah.
But the count is from Sesame Street.
Uh huh.
And he does 1, 2, 3. He like
counts. Yeah, but doesn't the cereal guy also count? Like, doesn't he count his Choculas?
He counts his Choculas.
Like, do all, I'm confused. Like, do all vampires just count?
Oh, are we okay? We're saying that all vampires love math.
Mathematics, yes. Yeah. The math.
Let me see. I found a TikTok from the cereal monsters.
Oh, and then that's like where Boo Berry comes in. I hate that motherfucker.
Yeah, Boo Berry, Frankenberry.
I hate them. Like he's counting.
Those are nasty cereals.
Oh, there are people drinking cereal out of champagne glasses. Wow.
I don't know if you've ever had those cereals when they come around for Halloween, but they are ass wipes, those cereals.
They taste bad, or what's the deal? They're so bad.
They're nasty. Okay.
I'm not, I like cereal, but I don't ever think about getting cereal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never like, I'm craving cereal.
Sometimes I do. I like to have little cereal as like a little, like I put it like in a little ramekin and I have it for like a dessert. Yeah.
What are your top cereals? What are you buying?
Well, I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I like a Golden Graham.
Okay. I like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch. The other one I will buy is the Special K Vanilla Almond. I love that one. It's really good.
That's a good cereal.
Like an old people cereal, you know?
No, it's a good one. So, yeah. Basically, I just think that it should be removed enough, but also they did previously hook up. So then, I don't know. Like, here, hypothetically, if Will hooked up with Alison Brie, and he's like, Alison Brie's like so fucking hot, but you know that he hooked up with Alison Brie.
Not allowed to be saying that. Yeah.
You can't say it because
if he's already hooked up with her, you can't then be like, especially Alison Brie.
Or like our encounter was like really hot. You know what I mean? Like you would get.
I just think that's in poor taste. Like you can't just be talking about your prior like sexual conquests like in such a laissez-faire way.
But like it'll never happen again.
But what? How is this coming up? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm asking about it, that's fair game.
Like, you guys saw her. Like, she's like,
oh, I'm watching her
filming something in Albany.
Oh my god. Okay, so she's local too.
Yeah, like she's like in the town, right? Like she's in town, but like, he doesn't have like an appointment to see her.
I just feel like that's weird. Like, I feel like it would be very weird for him to just be like, that one time that we hooked up, like it was very hot.
Well, would you want to hear details? Because like, I also kind of feel like I'm also a sick fuck. So I would be like, I want to hear the details.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have asked many details of prior like hookups or whatever.
Yeah.
But I definitely know some info because I'll ask some details, but I'm not like, and how long were you inside her? Like how many minutes, you know, like I'm not getting into the nitty gritty, but there, I do need certain details mostly because I don't know the people. So it doesn't matter.
The line is so thin because like, I want to hear every single detail, but the second he would say like, she felt like I would be like, does she feel better than me? And then my day would be ruined. You know what I mean?
If they don't say no, then they're an asshole.
Well, I wouldn't be asking the questions. It's just, you know, I'm just saying the line is so thin.
It's very complicated is the answer, right? Like, and I think that's something that communication is key.
Yeah. Why does it have to be so complicated? I see the way you laugh. Just with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's really getting me frustrated. You're
frustrated. Yeah. No. Xander immediately gets like I don't even know, hoodwinked, manipulated, bamboozled, all of the above.
Gooped and gagged.
By Dracula. He's like, you're gonna be my little minion bitch now. Come on, little minion bitch, follow my rules. And Xander's like, okay, all right. Then he freaking does a little poofy poof into Buffy's bedroom, which is one, not cool, bro. Like, not cool at all. Two, it seems like the reason he was able to do this, we find out later, is because Buffy's mom, Joyce, like, was like, come on in, like, into the doorway earlier.
This was a bad call by Joyce because, okay, like, I want to know. I obviously, like, she opens up the door. He's like, hi, I'm selling Avon. Do you want this lipstick? It would look great on you.
I have so many samples.
I have so many samples that I can show you. And she's
like, some hand cream. And she's wait a minute. Obviously, I need hand cream. My hands are so dry.
I need you to come in. Yeah. Like, is that what happened? Or was it like I open up the door and he like looks into her eyes and is like, I find you the most mesmerizing woman I've ever seen. But I also think that's cheating.
Because I think he did that though, because we've never seen him, like, he's not casual Dracula. He's not showing up on people's doorsteps in like
jeans and a sweater. This man has a full-blown cloak, hair parted down the center, pale-ass face. Like, this man looks like a vampire. So the only way he's, and especially in a town where, like, Joyce knows what a vampire is. Like, she's not just like, oh, vampires don't exist, don't be silly. No. She has experience with vampires. She's not going to just let any old Dick or Harry come on in her house. I think he had to have mind warped her to be able to get inside.
Are we like shallow howling it? Like, is shallow showing up?
So she thinks she's seeing something that's not there.
Exactly.
That movie is so problematic now, but I know exactly what that movie is.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But like, is that what's happening? Like, there is like a veil that goes on.
And he has like a glamour. He has a like glamour. Maybe in Avatar terms. Yeah. Maybe either that, or I think it's just a mind meld where it's like, you want to let me in?
Maybe. I would rather like open up the door and who I see is like
Brad Pitt.
No, not Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
Like somebody like unassuming. Like,
oh, like a normal, an everyday Joe, like an old like man whose car broke down on the side of the road.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Or
a child.
What? A child.
Please let me in, ma'am.
Yeah. I don't know why, but in my mind, I was picturing like Danny DeVito at the door.
I don't think I would let Danny DeVito inside our house. No offense. Well, I mean, obviously I would let Danny DeVito in, but if there was just some rando who looks kind of like Danny DeVito.
He's like, I have Jersey Mike subs.
To be fair, I could stomp Danny DeVito. I'm like, I have at least a foot on him.
I think you do because you're like 5'10"-ish and he's like 4'10"-ish.
Yeah, I think I could stomp him, but I still wouldn't let him in my house.
Yeah. Do you like it Mike's way?
Can I get clarification on what Mike's way is?
It's Mike's way.
Oh, what is Mike's way? It's
Jersey Mike's.
I know, but what does that mean?
It's Mike's way. It's like everything on it. It's Mike's way.
What is everything? If it has onions, then I'm out.
It does have onions.
Then I don't want it.
Man, I love Mike's way.
Do they have Jersey Mike's out where you are? Because like,
yeah, but okay. Adam, number one, we like never go out to eat. Okay. Over here, it is the budget always wins, and eating out is typically.
But you don't get like a once a week, once a month sort of a takeout day.
Sometimes
a little cheat day, a little funsies day.
I mean,
if I had to cook every single day, I would literally throw myself off a cliff.
I don't cook. He cooks.
Even your lunch. What do you do for lunch?
Yeah, like
what do you do for breakfast? Like he's making all these meals every day.
Like
that's a lot of meals.
I mean, he likes to cook and he cooks for me. And basically, he's basically like, that is like the other day I was like, I can really slap some lo mein. Like, I really want lo mein. And he goes, well, let me make you orange chicken.
Okay.
With noodles.
See, that's fine then. If I, cause I, like I'm a takeout girly because I hate cooking. Like, and I'm not having takeout all the time. Like we will do takeout once a week. That is what we limit ourselves to. Most weeks, unless we have some like extenuating circumstance.
Yeah.
But it's because otherwise I'm cooking or Will's cooking. We don't have a person in our household who is like excited to cook and like wants to cook.
He loves to cook. Yeah. Well, I did back when I lived in New Jersey, I did spend like a shit ton of money on.
You liked your takeout. Yeah.
So I
loved your like salmon and your like.
Oh, yeah. But I made that salmon. But
yeah. So anyway, he gets Joyce to let him in earlier in the day so that he pulls. OK, I don't know if you have this, Sarah, in your current place of living or any place you've ever lived where you'd use like air conditioning window units, right? Like you didn't have central air, you had window units.
Yeah.
Occasionally, every once in a blue moon, you got your air on, it's hot as fuck. You're like, I need the air on, especially if it's at nighttime and you're going to bed. Air is on, it's blasting. All of a sudden you hear a weird little noise. It's like, and your air conditioner, you're like, what the fuck is that? And then a motherfucking bug just shoots its ass out of your air conditioner. That has happened to me before. That is what I felt like Dracula was up to. He was like going through the vents in the air conditioner, poofing out.
You got a bug come from outside into the air conditioner?
Yeah, twice.
That's wild.
Twice in my life.
Yeah, that's never happened
to me. One time it shot right into my hair. Let me tell you, I was not happy.
Jeez Louise.
I don't care about bugs, but I don't want them shooting at me.
Yeah. I Yeah, that is wild. Dracula does some unusual things, like he turns into smoke and is able, he like turned into a wolf at one point.
And yeah, I was gonna ask you about the wolf. That was Dracula, right?
I'm pretty positive that was Dracula. Okay. I don't understand, because Spike was kind of just like, yeah, they're just the
party tricks. They're party tricks. Like
party he does tricks. Like, yeah. He calls them like gypsy tricks. Like, but they seem like more. They seem like he is powerful. They seem like if they were just little party tricks that every vampire could do, then he would do it. And also he got like staked eventually 3 times and nothing happened. So I don't really understand how they're just like party tricks and not a big deal, because not every vampire can go through an air conditioner or a window like that.
I don't. Yeah. And I'm starting to get a little suspicious that the wolf wasn't Dracula. What if it's a different character we haven't met yet?
Well, so like I was thinking about that, because like the wolf is very much like a Twilight werewolf, where they look like actual wolves, but not a wolf as in a Buffy werewolf, because we've seen Buffy werewolves and they're the ugliest fucks that ever existed. So like, is it like an animagus type of thing? Like I did think it was Dracula, but you're right. Like, it could definitely have been just somebody watching. It was just like very, like it. They made it seem like Dracula could also turn into a wolf.
Yeah, it's just we never got a follow up on that, right? Like, we saw him turn into the bat, and we saw, you know, that's what we saw. We didn't see him turn into the wolf,
but then he just pooped right after the wolf. So
yeah, so maybe it may be that it was just him and I'm being stupid, but
no, I think that like it's a good question to ask. Like,
it's just I'm keeping my eye out, you know, got my eyes out for that. But he like, he's such a creep, where he like creeps on Buffy and he's like, you have been tasted. Yeah. Like, you're nasty, bro. You're nasty.
Well, he liked her neck. He liked the look of her neck. It was very sexual, honestly.
It really was. He is so gross. He's like, oh yeah, I know you've been tasted before, you nasty hoe. And he says what she does is hunting. He says your power is rooted in darkness.
He repeated the line that we already heard Tara say through the voice of the first Slayer.
Oh, what was it? Yes.
If I was a real podcaster, then
was it your power is rooted in darkness, or was that a different one?
No, like, you have capabilities of so much.
You think you know what you are, what's to come, you haven't even begun.
Exactly.
He says that later in the castle. Yes.
Tara said that.
Yeah.
As like the first Slayer through Tara.
Yes.
In the penultimate episode. So I thought that was interesting, because like one of the things, or a few of the things that I'm really looking out for, are things that can loop us into that episode, because it wasn't the penultimate. It was the last episode.
Yeah, it was the dream episode. One.
Because we obviously, Buffy is such a prophecy girl. She has these little dreams, which, by the way, I also have dreams that come true, but that's a different story for today. And I don't want to get lit on fire, because I'm not a witch. So I just want to say that. So anyway, I'm like looking out for that type of stuff.
Okay.
I just have to remember what the actual lines are.
Yeah. So he sucks her blood and leaves leave marks on her neck. The next morning she wakes up and she tries to hide them with a little scarfy scarf, which is like, okay, good try, Buffy. But when she meets up with the Scoobies, first of all, Xander's doing a terrible job at acting like he's not been compromised by saying things like, oh, master, Vader, the unholy prince.
Nobody's listening to him, though.
No one ever does.
He can just say whatever he wants and nobody would even pay attention, which is pretty sad and pathetic.
And in Willow's research, she found out that like he always wants to have a connection. He's very much like a serial killer. He wants to have a connection with his victims. He has mental powers that draws them in. He can control minds. He can appear in people's dreams. So he doesn't want just any old neck to suck on. He can if he wants to, but he wants to have some sort of a connection. Meanwhile, Buffy's trying to like hide what has happened because she's a little bit under his spell, but she gets caught. The jig is up. But the thing is they don't know, even though Xander's eating bugs, that he's been compromised. So they're like, listen, we're going to send Tara and Willow over to do a little protection spell on your house. Meanwhile, you're going to go with Xander and Anya over to Xander's house and he can keep an eye on you. But this does not work out well.
No, no.
Now, my question is, because Xander immediately is like, okay, Anya, here you go into the closet. And he like locks her in there. And then he's like, I have to take you to my master now. And Buffy's like, yes, okay. Was Buffy actually not under a spell the whole time and like faking it?
I think that she has the ability to try to fight it. So I think both can be true. Like, I think that there is like some sort of level of like being, especially when she's in front of him, is like definitely enthralled by him. But I also think that she probably was going into it being like, I need you to bring me to him so that I can like fight him and fight this. So I think like both can be true.
Okay. So they end up going to the castle. Meanwhile, Giles and Riley are tag teamed up. And they have found this castle because they're like, huh, where the hell did this come from?
They're like, wait a minute. Has this been here the whole time?
So funny. And Buffy is like, you know, so one of my favorite things of this entire episode was Giles having a little orgy moment with some lady vamps.
Yes. Do you know they're sisters. Do you know who these ladies are?
No, just that they're sisters.
The Brides of Dracula.
Oh, so it's like a sister wives sort of a thing.
Often referred to as the Weird Sisters. Some people say that they've never been, I think that they have like a bunch of different names. I'm on one page and they're calling them Verona, Alira, Mariska, but I don't know if that's actually their names.
Interesting. Okay.
So like there is a line where they said that I think Giles was like, oh, I didn't realize that you guys were real. So this is just like part of that lore again.
Okay. That's fun. Yeah. I loved him getting like dragged into the orgy and Riley having to save him. That was very fun.
Yeah.
Xander gets knocked out by Riley once Riley realizes Xander is like under Dracula's spell. And Buffy sucks Dracula's nasty wrist.
Just a little bit. Just a little drink.
Nasty.
Well, he told her to. So she was like, bet. Yes, I must.
Yeah. He says, find your true nature. And when she has like little visions, like where she's slaying, she sees the first slayer again. And then she snaps out of it. And she's like,
this is where like I feel like she was like entranced. But then this like flashing moment is her fighting it. And then she is able to like get out of it and fight him and then eventually stake him. But
yeah,
didn't really do anything.
But she has to stake him like twice or three times because of the whole Dracula thing.
I still don't think that he's gone. I think that like
you think he's gonna come back?
Well, the last time, the third time, he was just like a little bit of smoke and she's just like, you're doing it again with me right here. So like for me, it felt like he wasn't really gone. But then that like just leads me to like so many questions of like, how do you get rid of him? Like how many times do you have to fucking stake this dude?
That's the thing. I am not like, we've talked about this before. Our points of reference are like, you know, Twilight. Like we don't know Dracula lore in general. So I don't know what the lore is on Dracula and like how many times he has to be staked. Is he ever truly gone? Like you'd think if this man was that invincible that wouldn't kill him, but
yeah, because like that's the thing, like once again, like she knew based off of the lore that one steak wouldn't do the job. Right. Two steaks, I don't think, did the job. So what? How do you kill this dude?
That's the thing. I don't know. Is he actually dead? See, I did feel like he probably is actually dead because I don't think we're bringing Dracula. I feel like he's a premiere only guy, you know?
Kind of like how in the teen lady season. Yeah.
Yes.
The college girl. And we were
college
like,
oh, girl.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that this is our big bad, but. Yeah. Could it be like a 3-episode arc or something? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, that kind of leads us to something else, but I don't know. I felt like it didn't feel very like definitive once.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it needs to be like stabbed through the heart and then like sunlight so that he gets like burned. I don't know. Like I feel like, but truly, I don't know. Maybe we'll never see him again. Maybe he's like, you know what? I'm going to go back to Transylvania. This castle is not suitable for my liking. I need to get out of Dodge.
Yeah. But either way, all of this like stuff with Dracula has Buffy questioning like her history, the First Slayer, why she is the way she is. Like he basically says like, we're kindred spirits. There's a darkness within you. And so she's like, I need to know more about this because yes, he was a creepo depo and like snuck into my room and everything, but he had some points. Like there were some facts he was laying out and I need more information on all of that. One thing I would like to point out is that Buffy really loves to slay in leather pants, which feels like a really uncomfortable choice personally, I think, but I can't argue with the fact that they are very cute because she had a pair of red ones and a pair of pink ones. And I especially loved the pink ones. Those were cute.
She's looking cute. She's looking really cute in her outfits. Her hair looked a little longer, a little blonder.
I loved her hair. The curls were working for her. I was here for that specifically.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem comfortable, but she has to fight in style. That's like her number one rule.
We remember because with the initiative, she was like, I'm not wearing this uniform. This is pretty ugly.
Yeah.
I also really loved the line when Tara and Willow are doing the protection spell and they're like chatting with Joyce. And she says, sometimes you feel like giving up on men altogether. And there's this little knowing look between them.
Yeah.
That was very cute.
Yes. Tara was saging. Have you ever owned sage?
No.
No. I have some sage. My ex found it and he asked me if it was pot. I said, sir, it's sage. And like, it was big, like what Tara had in his hand. And I know. I know.
Like, I also thought you were dealing with that much weed.
A lot of weed.
Didn't you smell it? Like, I'm sorry, but like, even if you're not imbibing in the marijuana, it has a very distinct smell that I feel like most people in the world are aware of. Like, you smell a skunk. Is it skunk or is it weed?
I don't know. I've smelled like patchouli, I'm sure. And it was like, there was like two of them because it was like a double sage. It was like, you are packing. And I said, no, it's sage. It's hysterical. For the bad vibes.
Yes. Incredible. Wow. So Buffy does kill Dracula. Everyone's fine. Everyone's safe. Buffy connects with Giles. We kind of already talked about that, but we do need to talk about one more thing. And I feel like I'm being gaslit by this show and I don't appreciate it because make sure you talk to your sister, ma'am. Who, what, where, when, why? What are we talking about? Yeah,
so this is so funny because we finally meet Michelle
Trachtenberg.
I kept thinking like Danny Tamborelli. I'm like, that's not it.
Trachtenberg.
Okay.
Listen, we had Eliza Dushku. Now we got Michelle Trachtenberg,
which I knew she was coming. And like, you knew she was coming, especially like recently, like she passed away. I kept like insinuating like, oh, like, do you know who she plays? Like, do you know?
Oh, did you know this?
Yeah, I knew it was her sister.
Oh my God, I didn't know you knew. I knew you knew she was on the show, but I had assumed she was coming in as like a college friend. I assumed that she was just going to be like coming in like popular girl or nerdy girl or one of those tropes. I didn't think the show was going to gaslight me and be like, oh, Buffy has had a sister this whole fucking time.
This is the crazy thing. Like, I knew that was Buffy's sister, but I didn't know, nor do I still don't know how she is related. I had always assumed that she was going to be like Buffy's dad's
like a stepsister or half sister. Yeah, something.
I assumed that it was going to be through the dad side because, like, obviously, if it was like Buffy lives with Joyce, Joyce is her mom. I didn't think that Joyce was also going to be this character's mom.
Yeah, it seems like this is full-blooded sister.
So they like turn around and they're like, "Mom," and that was a surprise to me because, like, I thought once again, half sister, stepsister, like something. So I still don't understand exactly what's happening here. Like, once again, like when she kept making her bed, I think that they did they say sister? I think that they might have said sister. And I remember, I remember asking you, I said, "Jessica, like, did you like hear like who?"
Yeah, because I thought I had said, "Well, we don't know that Buffy has a sister, so I assume it's Faith's sister."
Yeah.
That, I remember saying that because it was the making the bed thing and it was Faith and it was sister. And I was like, "Oh, Faith must have a sister that comes into the show at some point."
Yeah.
What am I doing here? I don't like being gaslit. Yeah. I don't like being gaslit.
I'm very curious. I mean, like, I really don't know. I really don't know how they're going to talk around this or and say, like, I just feel like we would have just, I trust this show. I feel like they don't, it, this is not like, I remember that little blonde shit from the Brady Bunch and like everyone was like, "Oh, this kid's so annoying." Like, I just like don't think it's like that.
It was like their cousin or something.
Yeah. Like, and he just like appeared out of nowhere. And then like,
yes,
you know, I just like don't think it's going to be that situation. Like, there has to be a reason.
Yeah, this is, it's very upsetting that they're treating it like this bitch has always been here. And I'm just like, "What the fuck is this? What do you mean, sister?" Yeah. We would have heard about a fucking sister.
Yeah.
Like, she would have been, her life would have been threatened at least 4 times by now.
That's true.
Like, what are we, my only thing is, maybe if it is a full-blooded, like, her parents are the same as Buffy's parents, maybe she's been living with her dad, you know? But that's kind of fucked.
Like,
because Buffy's trap
type of thing, like, whenever.
But they're not twins.
And also, it's just like, okay, so like you live with your dad, I will live with mom. And then when I visit dad, you go and visit mom.
Right. But the problem is,
we never spend time together.
Right. But Buffy's dad is such an absentee parent that wouldn't make any sense to me. So,
well, maybe just to Buffy, because Buffy's the problem child.
Well, here's the thing, even in like the Creepo Depot flashbacks of Angel spying on Buffy when she's crying because her parents are arguing, like, she wasn't going to comfort her younger sister or give her younger sister a little hug.
We pull back and the sister was there in the scene the whole time.
I will riot.
I mean, there has to be a reason. I was surprised by that. I'm like very curious. Do you know her name?
I don't think they said her name.
No, they didn't. I was just wondering
So here's the thing. I only knew Michelle Trachtenberg was going to join the show after her death, because obviously that hits into my TikTok. It hits into a lot of things. And so, you know, as soon as I see her face, it's like Buffy star Michelle Trachtenberg. You know, I knew she was going to be on the show, had no idea in what capacity, as a villain, as a hero, as a friend, anything like that. Have no clue what her name is. If I had to guess a name.
Yeah, what's her name?
Let's see. What? Okay, so if parents named their child Buffy, mm-hmm. what other names would they give a child? They like an E noise at the end.
Sure.
We could do a little bit of a, like androgynous sort of a Charlie moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is very
No, I have it.
Okay, let's go.
Susie. That's of the times.
Susie Summers. Love
Susie
it.
Susie Summers.
That is a name.
That doesn't work, though.
That is a name. Okay.
Do you know what her name is?
Yes. Now, okay. Do you think that Susie is like, what do you think her personality is like?
Okay. I'm getting younger sibling vibes. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously, I have no idea. I am assuming she is a younger sibling. So I think she's going to give younger sibling, which usually means wants to tag along with older sis, but now they're at the age where it's like ugh, my older sister's like so annoying. Like, she's always trying to control me. Like, she's always trying to look out for me and tell me not to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be a little bit of a rabble rouser, little mm-hmm. bit of a troubled person, little bit of a like gets into things. I also think she maybe has like secret powers of her own.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What do you know? What do you know anything more than nope. name?
I just know her name and that was her sister.
Okay. So what do you think?
I think I agree with you. Like, I think I'm like getting like annoying younger sister vibes. Yeah. Like, I think that they're probably going to, we know that Buffy typically doesn't play well with other people, yes. especially new other people. So I can see her like ditching her sister a lot. And yes. I can see Susie kind of, you know, finding out pretty quickly what Buffy does and then trying to insert herself. Like, I can do it too. Yeah. And get herself in trouble.
Well, that's the thing. Does she even know Buffy is a Slayer? She must.
I don't know. Like, I don't think that her dad knows that Buffy is a Slayer. I think only Joyce knows.
I wonder if it's part of it is, ugh, my older sister is like so popular, right? Because let's not forget, yeah. Buffy used to be the popular girl,
yeah.
like before the show started. Now she's the Slayer. She's like the chosen one. So maybe Susie feels like the forgotten child. Mm-hmm. Because here's the other thing, Sarah. Why the fuck wasn't Susie invited to dinner? Like, which when dinner? Buffy and Joyce are having dinner in like the beginning of the episode, oh, and Buffy's like, sorry, gotta go.
She didn't arrive yet. She was probably on the bus to Sunnydale.
Oh, okay. And was it 3 hours? No, four by bus. Sorry, four by bus.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Okay, maybe that makes sense. I was just like, I did not like the show trying to tell me
you're that unhappy.
This bitch has been here the whole time because she hasn't.
Yeah, you're not happy. You are. I thought that this would be a happy surprise.
I am happy to have Michelle Trachtenberg on my television screen because I watched Harriet the Spy. Okay. Like, I was around. I watched it. I watched some of Gossip Girl.
Harriet the Spy. Oh, yeah. Georgina.
I've seen Georgina on Gossip Girl.
Awful.
If she's like, anything like Georgina, whooshkies, we got a season ahead of us.
She was great as Georgina. Let me clarify, but Georgina, the character, was a demon on earth.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. So I'm excited to have her on my screen. I just did not appreciate that the show was trying to be like, this bitch has been here the whole time, because no, she has not. Like, we are podcasting mm-hmm. about the show. I am trying to be a good podcaster and keep my eyes and ears open at all times. Mm-hmm. But this bitch is new. Okay. Now mm-hmm. I'm excited because I think I want to say at some point, apologies if I don't remember who it was, at some point, someone sent in feedback and was like, I'm really excited for you to meet my favorite character. I'm pretty sure this is her. I'm pretty sure this is some people's favorite character.
Really?
So.
Oh,
I don't know what that means, but there we are.
Interesting.
Maybe she's this season's big bad. That would be fun. I would enjoy that.
That would be new and different. That's for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. So Buffy has a sister. It's apparently canon now. She is no longer an only child. So mm-hmm. mazel tov, I guess.
Yay. Siblings, love them.
Yeah. Do we want to do a quick little Cordy's Corner before we jump into some feedback?
Oh, boy. Because can I say I do not give a shit about this show?
Here's my proposal to you, because I know you're feeling burdened by the Cordy's Corner Angel. Very bothered by Angel. Here's my proposal that I think will still be very fun. Okay. What if I still watch Angel? You are relieved of your duties of Angel
Great.
Watching.
Great.
And I will give you a little synopsis about what happens on Angel. Okay. Maybe mm-hmm. I will throw in a little trick or two, a little mm-hmm. lie or two mm-hmm. that you have to then say, oh, that sounds like a lie. That sounds okay. like that didn't happen.
I can do that. However, I do want to watch crossover episodes.
I will. Okay. So we will. If people can let us know. People Michael? Let us know. Michael can let
Michael,
us know.
Michael, help me. Help me. Tell, Michael. Tell me the actual episodes that I should watch, Michael.
Yes.
Instead please. Of your favorite episodes, which are apparently all of them.
Help us out, Michael. Let us know. Perfect. Yes, let's do that. So, but you did you watch this episode?
I did, but I was also on my walking pad and I was like, You know what happened? I was like, you know, walking pad shows are supposed to like make the hour go by faster. And yeah. It made it go by longer. So I was not happy.
Yeah.
I was not happy.
Yeah. So basically my notes for this was there's a demon cult at the gym. Angel waffles with whether or not he should join a gym. By the way, we're talking about season 2, episode 1, Judgment. Angel's talking about joining a gym, which is like, you're undead. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're literally immortal. Like, you don't need to join a gym. Darla is back and she remembers that Angel killed her. Honestly, the highlight was demon karaoke. Like, There was demon karaoke. Angel sings and it is tragic. It is the saddest, most monotone karaoke I've seen in my life. Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. Some people are just not made to karaoke. And I'm one of those people as well.
Feeling into it is my problem. Like, literally, he did not care.
I hate karaoke.
Put feeling into it, Angel. Once more with feeling. Angel kills. Okay. Have you ever seen 6 Feet Under, the HBO show?
No.
6 Feet Under. I don't know this actor's name, but I know her as Vanessa from 6 Feet Under. And She's pregnant and he kills her protector demon.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And she's like, why'd you do that? And She was like, I thought I was doing something good. And then he gets all sad like he normally does. And then he's like vowing to make amends for his bad deeds.
Yeah, because he's like, oopsie daisies, I killed a good person, my bad. And it was because he got bad intel, because apparently they wanted the protector out of the way because Vanessa's baby is like the prince that was promised or something. And all these people want it. So Angel's like, okay, I'm going to be the knight in shining armor, like literally, and stand in for Vanessa in a trial by combat. He had to ride a horse.
Yeah.
And then I feel like this is very dangerous for Angel because he's literally running towards a pointy stick. A very pointy stick.
He's so stupid.
He really is. He's really dumb. And then at the very, very end of the episode, Angel visits Faith at the jail. And you know what?
What?
Jail does a body good because Faith looks incredible. Her hair and makeup has never looked better.
Working out in there.
Yeah.
And she's Gunn as well.
Gunn does show up and he goes and talks to Cordelia and Wesley at one point. I mean, it's whatever. I think they're just integrating him into the cast now.
Yeah.
So he's there now. You know, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. This episode was nothing to write home about. I liked Faith's glow up in jail. Angel still remains to be a dumbass. Like, I don't understand how you're like, I'm going to take the word of this one random demon instead of being like, excuse me, ma'am, are you being oppressed? Like, are you being injured? Okay, let me kill this guy behind you. I'm gonna jump the gun and literally kill this man.
How are we feeling about Angel and Faith's little rendezvous? Their little meetings?
I wish Faith was on Buffy, not Angel. I think they are kindred spirits in a way. And just, I'm like, assuming
Buffy.
Yes, I'm assuming this is where we're getting on her like redemption tour. But my problem is going to be if we decide to do full blown Faith redemption tour on Angel. I would not be happy because she should do her redemption tour on Buffy, not Angel.
Yeah, I mean, that would be good. But
this episode was like, man, like it's fine. It's fine. Okay. It's serviceable. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to I don't remember his fucking name. He works at Wolfram and Hart and he now has a fake ass plastic hand.
Lindsay.
That's right. Yes.
Was that right?
I think so.
Damn.
He has a plastic hand because, as we all remember, his wrist got chopped off last episode.
Yes, we all remember that.
Sarah definitely remembered that. So, yeah, that
had to be a lie. That was fake, right?
That legitimately happened. Okay. This man had a fake hand this episode.
All right. I don't remember that.
But, yeah, I think that you're going to enjoy Angel much more experiencing it via me.
I think so. And then also, like, once again, like an occasional crossover episode I'll watch, because I do right. like that. I do like that. Right. Or if one was extremely interesting.
I was going to say, if there's like a particularly great like Cordelia episode, I'll let you know. I did like the bit of Cordelia.
I'm like, I just don't care. I don't care.
Fine. You don't have to care.
I'm old. I'm tired. You know,
I'm weary. I did like the bit of Cordelia sneezing a few times and them thinking she was having a vision. That was pretty great.
Mm.
But yeah, Angel's fine. It's okay. It's whatever, you know? All right, let's get into our Buffy feedback. We got an email from Justin. Hello again, ladies. Been a while. I've enjoyed seeing your guesses on what's potentially going to happen this season. Firstly, in this episode, let me say, I love Xander being Dracula's thrall. The stupid giggling as he walks off in the night scene just makes it even funnier to me.
I agree. I think it's really funny. And Justin is a huge Xander fan, if you remember.
Yeah. Listen, I was a big Xander fan last season, so we'll see what he can do for me this season. I can't fault Giles for wanting to go back to England after what he saw in the dream when the first Slayer was coming for them. He might love Buffy, but he also probably feels like he's wasted his life and wants to start a family. Plus, it's not like his, it's not like his orgasm friend can just come whenever if she's still even in the picture.
Yeah, Olivia.
Olivia
can't, remember Anya called?
Yes, I forgot that because I was like, oh my God, Justin. I forgot the orgasm.
We can't be flying Olivia over for like a quick in and out.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's like too far. It's a long flight.
Yeah. I mean, Giles just needs a girlfriend in stateside.
Joyce. I mean, he's gotten some with Joyce before.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, damn you, Riley. Giles is having a great time with those succubi. There was no need for you to stop him from having many orgasms with his new orgasm friends. I agree. Why you gotta cock block him, Riley? Why you gotta cock block him?
I don't think that we want to be hooking up with three brides of Dracula. That's a lot of brides.
I mean, Giles could handle himself. He was Ripper, remember? Don't forget.
I don't think that he's ever had an orgy with three vampires.
Ripper has definitely had orgies. Maybe not with vampires, but definitely had orgies for sure.
Okay.
Also, why were the scenes between Dracula and Buffy so overtly sexual?
Yeah.
I mean, I get vampires are very sexual creatures and all, but that was overboard.
Yeah. And he's a horny fuck and he likes the look.
Thing. Yeah.
He likes the look of her neck.
I think we were also leaning into the vampire tropes very heavily. And so they had to make Dracula like overtly sexual to lean into that trope about vampires.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see your guys' reactions to SMG's new stunt double. It's like during the summer break, Buffy did some training in Mexico with the luchadores. Either way, either that or she found a Black Widow to train under.
That's
I didn't notice, but I guess there was some kicky punchies, but honest to God, I wasn't paying close enough attention. And I watched this episode twice. So but my eyes glaze over the kicky punchies, you know that.
Yeah.
Okay. We got an email from Andrew. You all doubted me, but I finally caught up. Secretly, my goal was to catch up in time for season 5, and I did it.
Oh, thank you. Andrew. Amazing.
Season 5 is my favorite. It has the best big bad, whom I'm 100% certain you both will adore. Is it Dratty Vamps?
Who is it?
I also can't wait to get your thoughts on Buffy's sister, who has definitely been around the whole time, but was just slightly off camera and always ignored. I don't know if you know her name yet, so I won't spoil it. It's definitely Susie.
It's Susie. Susie Summers.
Susie Summers. But I will say it has been mentioned once previously on the show. What?
Excuse me? Now we have to watch every single episode, try to find it.
I'm upset. I need to know what's going on. I need to watch this next episode tonight. Okay. I have a soft spot. In all seriousness, I have a soft spot for any character played by Michelle Trachtenberg because 12-year-old me never really got over his crush on her. So although some people might not like this character, I can't help but be fond of her. I hope you will treat her kindly and be nicer to her than Buffy ever was. I'm definitely getting big older sister vibes of
an older sister and I can totally understand how much pleasure it is to torment a younger sister.
Mm-hmm. I am a younger sister and I have been tormented. So
no, you're the tormentor. You're a demon. And also sister relationships are different than brother sister relationships.
Definitely. But yeah, I would agree with that. I'm excited to meet this character. I'm excited to see what she's got up her sleeves. I hope that she is a messy bitch because that is what I want on my TV screen.
Yeah.
So always exciting. Any other thoughts, Sarah, before I tell you what the episode titles are for?
No, I'm definitely excited to see this sister storyline. I think that that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have season 5, episode 2 of Buffy, Real Me.
The real me. The real me.
Interesting.
You know, like only family can know you in a certain way.
Oh, like the real me. I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I understand. And Angel is season 2, episode 2. Are you now or have you ever been?
Well, I hope you have a good time watching that, Jess.
I will.
Unless Michael says that I need to watch it. And in that case,
Michael, hit us up. Let us know.
Let us know.
But yeah, that's everything we have. I'm excited to be back. We had in real time, we had a week off with, I didn't podcast for a whole week and that's it was great. Really weird, but really nice to have a nice little break from everything. So I'm happy to be back though. And I'm ready to hit the ground running with Buffy. So really excited to get this season started.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. That's everything we've got. So we'll be back next week with season 5, episode 2 of Buffy. And until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.